And good morning. The time is 18 minutes after 8 a.m. You're listening to KCAW Raven Radio in Sitka, and it's time for our morning interview. Have a couple of folks from Search Mount Edgecombe Hospital in with us today. And in the interest of full disclosure, I do work for Search. Wanted to let our listeners know that. You're laughing at that. Do you think that's a funny thing?
No, it's important to be upfront.
We have a relaxed group of people in here today. Joining me in the studio today is Alexis Howie. She's an executive assistant at Search and involved in community outreach. And we also have Dr. Elliot Brule. He's the medical director at Mount Edgecombe Hospital. Good morning.
Good morning, Peter.
Yeah. Good morning. Thanks for both of you for coming in. You're here to talk about an ongoing series of talks that's provided by Search. What can you tell me about that, Alexis?
Yeah, so this is Doc Talks. It is a health-focused speaker series put on by Search Mount Edgecombe Hospital and the Hames Center. They happen every Wednesday from 7 to 8 p.m., and the format is a new provider each week will give a health-focused talk. There's a presentation time and a question and answer time, and it's a really good opportunity for the community to come out and learn a little bit more about their health.
Yeah, it's been, I think it's been a lot of fun, and it's been real successful. We've had good turnout. I know a lot of the physicians and other providers have been enjoying the process of participating.
So you've had a number of these talks already. What are some of the topics that you've had?
Yeah, so this is actually topic number 8 out of 11. Some of the topics that we had were last week, Somerset Dunn, our audiologist, did the aging auditory system. A couple weeks before, Dr. Ebert Vega did an overview of sexually transmitted infections. There's been a very wide variety of topics.
Yeah, GEO. GEO Villanueva, one of our physical therapists, gave a talk about injuries and injury prevention, which was wonderful.
Nice. So you've got 3 more, and there's one coming up on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Right? 3 more, including this one. And what's the topic for this talk, this Wednesday's talk?
Well, it's going to be Ebola.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I do a fair amount of work with injuries and arthritis and things like that in my practice, and originally was planning on talking about osteoarthritis, but there's been so much going on, not just in the news, but in terms of activity locally and in the state around the current Ebola outbreak, that I thought it would be timely and interesting to talk a little bit about that.
Well, why do you think it's such of such interest in the state these days?
Well, it's really of interest everywhere in the country, and as a hospital, we're in addition to trying to deal with all of the local issues, et cetera, we're part of a much larger network that extends all the way back to the Centers for Disease Control, the CDC, and national health and preparedness. So as part of that, there's been a huge outreach to all hospitals to standardize preparedness and getting ready for this.
So what's an example of how a hospital would be prepared for something like this, for a case, for example, of Ebola that shows up in the emergency room?
Well, it's, we're on an island in the North Pacific, but we have that thing out there on the causeway called the airport. So we're connected to the world through that and through travelers. And so I think the most important thing is, as we saw in Dallas, is screening and screening patients properly. And so I think that patients should be expecting the fact that in addition to being asked about whether or not they're ill, they'll be asked about travel history. Mm-hmm. And really the only, it seems odd perhaps that you would be asked about that regularly when you live in a small community and you live in maybe a place that feels pretty isolated. But the reality is that without that and without that information, it's impossible for a hospital or a clinic to recognize that your illness could be related to that.
So when someone does come in, what are the kinds of things that you're looking for besides asking now for perhaps travel history?
Well, if somebody, the early signs of Ebola virus are very nonspecific. It's like the flu. So, sudden onset of fever and body aches and those types of symptoms, diarrhea. So those symptoms we all know this time of year are very common. And the kinds of things that cause those are viruses, including the flu. And so if someone's calling in and is interested in being seen for those kinds of symptoms, the question is, have you been traveling? And if you've been traveling out of state recently, have you been traveling to a place in West Africa or to a place where you've had contact with someone else who has a known history of Ebola? And in that instance only, that would prompt both isolation of the patient as well as protection of the healthcare workers and contact with the Department of Health and Social Services and the CDC. So there's a whole cascade of preparedness there that would happen in that instance, in that unusual circumstance, but it's something that we don't want to miss.
You mentioned before that there are lots of other issues that any organization has to take care of and pay attention to. And how does this fit in terms of resources, getting people prepared, doing education for people that, say, work in the emergency room?
Well, I think it is an extension of the activities that we normally are thinking about at this time of year in terms of infectious disease, because we're coming into the time of year when people are sick. Mm-hmm. And the thing that they're most commonly sick with is a cold virus and the flu. And dealing with that and involves helping patients to cover their mouth with a mask and not create contact with other patients in the hospital and potentially spreading that. So that's a normal kind of infectious disease prevention activities that we're doing. Mm-hmm. And, probably one of the most important things that we're all doing this time of year is trying to help our patients to get flu virus vaccination. So we're right in the middle of that. And there's, you don't want to lose sight of the forest for the trees. And the by far and away, the most important thing people can be doing right now for infectious disease prevention is getting a flu shot. Mm-hmm.
And the same things that they should be doing anytime, keeping their hands clean, all those sorts of things. Well, I know I just got my flu shot not too long ago, and and I'm here to tell about it. Didn't really have any issues whatsoever. So that went fine.
Well, I got mine. Made my arm sore for a little bit, but I never miss it.
Alexis?
Yes, I got mine as well.
Oh, good, good. It's all three of us here. So we hope to not transmit the flu to each other, at least here in the Raven Radio studio.
Yeah. There's so Wednesday night, my hope is to not just be talking about what we're doing for preparedness here, but also just to be talking about some other issues around Ebola, because there's actually quite a bit of scientific information out there about filoviruses and other hemorrhagic fevers, and trying to put this into some context scientifically, and also in terms of the history, what's led up to this, and what's happened in the past 30 years with other filovirus outbreaks, and what are some of the things that that investigators are looking at in terms of both treatment and care and things like that.
Mm-hmm. So those are some of the things you'll expand on Wednesday night.
Absolutely.
Oh, great. So that wraps up the interview for today. We've been speaking with Alexis Howie and Dr. Elliot Brule from Mount Edgecombe Hospital. Alexis, can you just remind us if people have questions about the talks, what would they do to get more information?
If you have any questions at all, you can always call 966-8575. That is my direct line, actually, and I can give you a little bit more information.
Okay, thank you so much for coming in today.
Yeah, see you Wednesday night.
I really appreciate the time.